that the Lord should be pleased to help me, I shall call your attention to a subject you will find in the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 2, 8th verse. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. Chapter 2, the Epistle to the Hebrews, and the 8th verse. If you have the great mercy, the Lord grant you may be the subject of it, to go to Bethlehem and see the thing which came to pass there when Jesus Christ was born a babe by birth mysterious. You must not pause too long by the manger cradle, thinking upon the wonder of it, as veiled in flesh, the Godhead is to be seen. But from the cradle, look forward to the life that Jesus Christ was born to live. And ever keep in your mind that Jesus Christ was born to die. From the cradle, you must look forward to the cross and beyond it. When Jesus Christ rose from the dead and love's redeeming work was done, and think how he ascended up on high, and then gather your thoughts as grace is given to where Jesus Christ is, no longer that holy babe, but at God's right hand as verily man and verily God, and then seek divine aid to enter into the culmination of eternal purposes. And our subject this Christmas morn will show you in a very brief compass, and yet so vast in the meaning of it, what is the culmination of eternal purposes. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And now, in this word before us, preacher and people, all of you who are sinners born again, especially I mean, will be just as it were standing on the seashore, gazing out over the vast ocean depths that are in this tremendous subject. And it will be a mercy to prize if the preacher is helped to take just a bucketful out of those ocean depths, that you might encourage your souls in God. Thou hast put all things, whatever they are, whatever their nature, thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. Oh, if you and I could have vision. I often long for it. It is the great need in the Church of Christ at the present time. A great need in our denominational life. Vision! Where no vision is, there the people perish. And now our subject presents us with vision. And that little babe, born at Bethlehem long ago, is now God over all, blessed forevermore. And you and I are carried forward in that vision, which the Word of God makes so plain to those who have eyes to read it and search the Scriptures. Oh, there is a day to dawn. I hope you, dear young people, will live in it. I feel sure the little babes will. I hope you teenagers will. When Jesus shall reign, where'er the sun doth his successive journeys run, his kingdom stretched from shore to shore, till moon shall wax and wane no more. Then this word will be fulfilled before your eyes. We, at the present time, see not yet all things put under him, but it will be seen. Every sinner taught of God will see it and rejoice in it. And now I want, if the Lord should help me, to work out that line of things. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. And in approaching the subject, I want you to ponder in your heart, and you dear young people too, who are asking the way to Zion with your faces thitherward, I want you to ponder in your hearts what surprising interpretations are given of some scriptures as you compare scripture with scripture. And now in the context in this chapter, the Apostle Paul was ordained of God and inspired by the Spirit to pen this epistle to the Hebrews, and he draws his illustrations, support for his arguments, from some things in the Old Testament. And in the immediate context, he calls our attention to one of the Psalms, a beautiful little Psalm. One in a certain place testified, saying, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownedst him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands." And now, if you turn to Psalm 8, you will read it down, and you will not, I feel, have one thought in your mind that a greater than David is in that psalm. It would seem as though David, when he was still a shepherd, one winter night when the heavens above were brilliant with starlight, moonlight, was so overcome by the sight of it that he felt inspired of God to record his thoughts, and he uses the language which I have just read. "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor." And follow this along, please. "Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea." And now, if you pondered it at all with a spiritual mind, you might conclude that godly David was going back to Eden's garden. And he might have had it in his mind when Adam did what the Word of God tells us. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. If the Apostle Paul had not given us the interpretation that I want to bring before you, which is the true meaning of it, a greater than David is here, you and I might have thought that David had in his mind Eden's garden when Adam had dominion over all the fowl of the air and the beasts of the field. But it is not the first Adam that Psalm 8 is written about. No, it is the last Adam. When the Adam fall took place, whatever dominion Adam had over the beasts of the field and the fowl of the air and all creatures, he lost the dominion of it. There are domestic creatures, which we call kine, and to some degree man has dominion over them, but not a complete dominion. And as for those creatures which we term wild, man has no dominion over them. Then we must look elsewhere to find that man that the Spirit of God refers to. I read this verse again. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? And now Adam was not the son of man. Remember that. Adam was created in his maker's image out of the dust of the earth and could never be designated the son of man. Who is the son of man? Jesus Christ is set forth on earth as the son of man. And that is who is referred to. And now it might be when you read the word of God that you might get some surprising interpretations, yet interpretations that are of God as you compare scriptures with scriptures, and not immediately draw your conclusions as to what the interpretation is without looking up references to see what the word of God does tell as to what is the real interpretation. Do suffer that word of exhortation. And now thou hast put all things under his feet and in subjection. And I want to look at the subject from two viewpoints. Keep this thought in your mind that Jesus Christ is the center and the circumference of eternal purposes. When in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, it was to be his own workshop, speaking with great reverence, that he might make known his eternal purposes. This people have I formed for myself, and they shall show forth my praise. That was the immediate aim of God when in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And down through the ages, God has been fulfilling his purpose, adding unto the church daily such as shall be saved. And he is still working out his purposes. And we hope you and I, many of us, are the subject of those purposes, so that we are here before God this Christmas morn with a desire to be true worshippers and to win Christ and be found in him, and with living faith to go to Bethlehem and see the thing that came to pass there, and rejoice to feel, like the hymn writer puts it, How it was done, we can't discuss. We must not discuss it. We must not think on it to reason about it or argue. How it was done, we can't discuss, but this we know. It was done for us. If Jesus Christ was born for us, he will be born in us as all our salvation and all our desire. Therefore, all the purposes of God beneath the sun, however you may look on the world at the present time, with all its chaos and confusion, it matters not. All the purposes of God are that Jesus Christ should be exalted and extolled and be very high. And in the time appointed, all things beneath the sun should be in subjection to him. For of him, and to him, and through him are all things. The Apostle Paul penned to the godly Romans. Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And he who reigneth like that is omnipotence incarnate. Verily man, verily God. And then, in the word of God itself, if you read it aright, you will find that Jesus Christ is the center of it and the circumference of it. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O God. And you find, although I must not take too much time up in opening up this viewpoint of it, you find with the tabernacle in the wilderness, had you been allowed to go into it, as the priests were, and the high priest especially, you would have seen, if you were an Israelite indeed, that every jot and tittle of it centered in Jesus Christ. It had got no meaning otherwise than that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And all the blood that was shed, rivers of it, seas full of it, had got no value, no validity, no virtue. Only to set forth the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, which cleanseth us from all sin, when in the fullness of time God would send forth his own Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that in the body prepared he might have blood to shed. And he did shed it. Blessed be his name. And Jesus' blood through earth and skies, mercy eternal, mercy cries. And those of us who preach the gospel, and that is a great honor conferred on us, a great privilege, and oft times a great pleasure. But then, if those of us who do preach, as grace is given, or help to preach, it will only be as Jesus Christ is the center and the circumference of our preaching. I determine to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified, said Paul to the godly Corinthians. And all of us who try to preach, we want more grace than we can ever seem to obtain to preach Christ, that poor sinners should fall in love with him and enter into that scripture, I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And I come to another thought, and that is, if you and I have got a hope in God, many of us do possess such a hope, a good hope, through grace. And if you and I do possess a hope in God, I say, then Jesus Christ should be the center and the circumference of our lives. Wherever you are in your sphere in life, you should remember ye serve the Lord Christ. Remember that. Let your lives and acts express the holy gospel you profess. And now that is our first thought then, that Jesus Christ is the center and the circumference of eternal purposes, and in the Word of God itself, and in the Church of Christ, wherever there is a church built for God, Jesus Christ is the foundation on which that church is built, and he is the center of worship therein, and the circumference of the soul's desires of those who worship aright. And Jesus Christ must inevitably be the center and circumference of our soul's esteem. And now I want to look at this subject from this viewpoint first of all. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. In the epistle to the Philippians, there is a wonderful scripture. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And now there, you see the purpose why Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now he is exalted and extolled very high, and he is at God's right hand for sinners interceding. But in that life he was born to live on earth, he was humble. He was brought very low. He went down to the depths of the Adam fall on our behalf. He remembered us in our lowest state, for his mercy endureth forever. And now, the Apostle Paul goes on, do listen, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I said earlier on, the culmination of eternal purposes, and there it is. There is a day to dawn, it will be the last day, when it will be seen that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Even those going down into eternal misery will confess it too late. Do you confess it this Christmas morn? Let your consciences tell you, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Oh, have you bowed before him as the sinner's friend? Have you stood alongside the publican, God be merciful to me, a sinner? Do think what an amazing stoop it was. The eternal Son of God in his divine nature. The Word of God says, angels veil their faces before him and continually do cry, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. and yet seen in the manger cradle, God veiled in flesh, God manifest in the flesh. I often think of that word, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, God was manifest in the flesh. And you, dear young people, remember especially, there is only one place on the earth where it is without controversy, and that is in the Church of Christ. And it does not matter whom you meet, who is in the Church of Christ, irrespective of denominational label altogether, ask such a one, what think ye of Christ? And you will get a God-glorifying answer. No questioning about it, no cavilling, no arguing, no reasoning. We believe and are sure thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Lord, to whom can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. But outside the Church of Christ, ask the man in the street, is not this the carpenter? His father and mother we know. So it was said when Jesus Christ was born a babe, when he dwelt on earth as Emmanuel, God with us, and it is still said along the same line of thought, we will not have this man to reign over us, depart from us, we desire not the knowledge of thee or thy ways. It is a wonderful mercy to be able to say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in his only Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Mark the word in our Lord. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. But ere that came to be, Jesus Christ lived his life, born a babe, to live it. And as he grew in stature, wisdom, grace, and then went out to fulfill his public ministry. I have said he was made of a woman, made under the law. And all the while he was living his life on earth, he kept that law in every jot and tittle. Every thought, every word, every deed was perfect. With that perfection that he alone could give it as verily man, verily God. And thereby a righteousness was wrought out for poor sinners like you and me, to be made meet for the inheritance of the saints in life. And as you think of the life that Jesus lived, there is a word in Isaiah, in all our afflictions he was afflicted. Oh, what a suffering life it was. And yet, however deep, tremendous were his sufferings, his heart overflowed with love toward those on whose behalf he came. There was no diminution of that love, although what he endured no tongue can tell, which must have sunk our souls to hell otherwise. He went about doing good, but oh, what ill treatment he received at times. He was hounded about, persecuted, mocked, set at naught, spit upon, and at last, by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, he was taken by wicked hands and crucified. And it seemed then as if he was in subjection to those who opposed him, hated him, derided him. And they said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. There, you see, Jesus Christ having in subjection all things under him. Himself he cannot save. Insulting foe, 'tis true, the words of gracious meaning have, though meant in scorn by you. And if you would know how at that moment all things were in subjection unto him, listen. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I say unto you, love your enemies. Did you ever do that? It needs something from God to help you to do it. And Jesus Christ did it. He came unto his own received him not. But he went about in the land of promise, doing good, preaching his own glorious gospel. And then for the culmination of his life work, it is finished, cried the Lord in his dying minute. Holy Ghost, repeat the word, for salvation's in it. He was laid in the grave, his holy humanity. But that Easter morn dawned, and the angel came down to roll away the stone to justify him who had died on Calvary's cross, who was delivered for our offences, who rose again for our justification. And the good tidings of great joy went forth. The Lord is risen indeed. And that appeared to Simon. And then, at the time appointed, the angelic host came from the skies to surround him as he ascended up on high and was received into heaven as verily man. He entered into heaven through the merit of his own blood as verily man, verily God. And when he was seated on his throne, what was fulfilled? Everyone who had been a sinner born again throughout Old Testament times and before Calvary's cross, who had died in faith, they went to heaven on credit. The credit of what the Saviour would do in the fullness of time. But now, love's redeeming work is done. Fought the fight, the battle won. The word of the Lord is fulfilled and vindicated. Yes. There is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. And now, let us look at how that word is verified and will yet be verified more and more until the purposes of God are completed. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. As I thought on this subject, it came to my mind about in the realm of nature itself. I can only give you hints to think about prayerfully. And you find throughout the Word of God that Jesus Christ had the realm of nature in subjection to him, so that if need be he could override nature's laws to do his people good. Sun, stand thou still, and moon, likewise do it. And it was done. He said this, and it was so. And you find when he dwelt on earth, think of the miracle of the loaves and fishes. There, with 5 loaves and 2 small fishes, 5,000 people were fed and more. Think of what he said to Peter about the tribute money. Go to such a place, take up the first fish, and look within, you shall find 2 pence to pay the tribute money. And it was so. All disease, whatever its nature, was in subjection to him as Emmanuel, God with us, as he went about. You will be surprised if you read the Gospels closely, carefully. He healed them all. He healed all them that had need of healing. The power of the Lord was present to heal. And some of those cases were amazing, because it means that some poor people who were just crippled with withered arms and lame legs and feet, had everything put right, so that they were made whole to the amazement of the onlookers. All disease, whatever its nature, incurable by man, was in subjection to him as the sinner's wise physician. Yes. Go back into Old Testament time. Think of Elijah by the brook Kereth. The ravens, birds of prey, brought him bread and flesh morning and evening. Think of Jonah in the belly of the whale. And it says in the original, "Now the Lord prepared a great fish." It means a preserver. The Savior speaks of it as a whale. "Now the Lord prepared a great preserver to swallow up Jonah." And Jonah was saved by it. And then you will read in Israel's life in the wilderness, oh, when they were so disobedient and ill-behaved and wanted flesh, the Lord caused the east wind to blow, and it brought quails in abundance. And you will often find he holdeth the winds in his fist. The Lord caused a strong east wind to blow all that night, and the Red Sea was divided. And the children of Israel went over dry shod. Jesus Christ has all things in subjection under his feet in the realm of nature. Let Daniel preach to you. "My God hath sent his angel. He hath shut the lion's mouth." Let the three Hebrews in the fiery furnace tell you that even fire is in subjection unto him, that he can take the heat out of it, so that the three godly Hebrews walked in the midst of the fiery furnace, heated seven times hotter by man, and they found it good to be there, because there was another who walked with them therein a while, and the form of the fourth was like to the Son of God. Yes. There was put all things in subjection under his feet. Much might be said from that viewpoint, but then it includes all people. "By me kings reign and princes decree justice." There is a word which it is good to remember. The hearts of all are in the hand of the king, and he turneth them whithersoever he will. So it is with God. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Think of Jacob when he says, as Esau is coming with 400 men, Jacob says to the Lord his God, "I fear, Esau, that he will come and smite the mother and the children, and me too." Guilty Jacob. How did Esau meet Jacob? With a kiss, and all swords sheathed. The hearts of all men are in the hand of God to dispose like that. Think of that right down scamp, Haman, when he hated Mordecai and built a gallows for Mordecai to be hung thereon. But a day or two elapses, and he who hangs on that gallows is Haman. "He that diggeth a pit for another shall fall into it himself." And Haman did, and Mordecai was exalted. "Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that should die?" the word of God says. And you, dear young people, in your everyday lives, labouring for the bread which perishes, you may come into contact with men who might deride you, reproach you because of who you are and what you desire to be. And they might even seek to injure you in some way, in your livelihood. If you are helped to go to Jesus and tell him all the truth about it, you will see what the Lord would do for you. Oh, he will say to such an one who seeks to do you ill, thus far shalt thou go, and no further. Yes. From the highest in the land, even the one on the throne, to the humblest to be found, all people are in subjection unto him. Much might be said along that line of thought. It denotes the sovereignty of God. But then there is another thought, and that is Satan is under him, in subjection to him. I think that is a wonderful scripture. In this was the Son of God made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And now, as you look round the world with all its woe and wickedness, even at this Christmas time, it would seem, yea, it does seem, that Satan is exceedingly busy, and hell itself is let loose. But you must not form your judgment of what is happening as you look around the world and see its chaos and confusion. You must learn to look up and remember the Lord reigneth. In heaven and earth and air and sea, he executes his firm decrees. And though his methods are unknown, judgment and truth support his throne. Sometimes Satan seems very busy in the Church of Christ professing, and he is especially at this present time. Error abounds, schism, hypocrisy, to a very great degree in the Church of Christ professing. By schisms rent asunder and heresies distressed, one hymn writer says. And yet this word is a word to inspire you with hope. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. And now that means, as you read in the Ephesians epistle, that Jesus Christ is the head of the church, and that is not just an elementary statement, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And now, every motion of your body, every thought, whatever you do, think, say, your head controls it. And now it is a very simple illustration. Jesus Christ is the church's living head, and he knows every movement in the church worldwide. Whatever is happening, what his people think, do, or say, where they go, all linked up to their profession of his name. All is open before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Remember that. Therefore, if Satan is busy seeking to oppose you or undo that which God purposes to do, if it could be possible to do it, the Lord is aware of it. He knoweth the end of the thing from the beginning of it. And there is a great word which is very little understood, but I hope you, dear young people will live to see it. I hardly think that some of us who are in life's evening time will see it. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and the great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. There you have a prospect for the Church of Christ. It is a great day that will inevitably dawn. And I hope you, dear young people, will live in the light of it. The knowledge of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. Nothing is left that is not put under him. How that should encourage us to trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your hearts before him. God is a refuge for us. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear. There is just another viewpoint of this subject. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. And now that means all to do with you. Yours. Our circumstances. The world itself is put under him. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Therefore, marvel not if the world hate you, but know this, it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love its own. It means every difficulty that may arise in your life as you journey on, every crooked thing, the Lord will appear and he will eradicate the difficulty, make the crooked things to be straight, because it comes in this category. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. It may be to do with your home life, or it may be in your business life. All things are in subjection under his feet. What you must be sure about is to be at his feet. Like the woman in the gospel, falling down at Jesus' feet, she told him all the truth. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And then it means this. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. It means all our guiltiness before God, all our sinfulness, sins in thought, word and deed, sins of omission, sins of commission, are under his feet to be no more remembered against us. Yes. Be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Jesus' blood through earth and skies, mercy eternal, mercy cries. And there is another thought, and some of us will have to face up to it very soon. Death is under his feet. Jesus vanquished death by dying. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject unto bondage. So that everyone on whose behalf Christ Jesus came into the world, when they come down to their dying hour, Oh, they find the bottom to be good in Jordan swelling. Though my heart and my flesh fail, God is the strength of my life and my portion forever. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? When Jesus Christ rose from the grave on that Easter morn long ago, he rose on behalf of all his people, and I have told you many times the whole Church of Christ rose in at that time in mystical union with him as the Church's living head. Therefore we lay all that is mortal of sinners born again in the grave in sure and certain hope of a joyful resurrection to the life everlasting. Yes. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. And now says the Apostle Paul to these godly Hebrews, but now we see not yet all things put under him. It is what you should be looking for. You should never be before God and help to pray without praying for it. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. This is the prospect before the Church of Christ. And as the night is usually the darkest before the dawn, and it is a dark time with the Church of Christ professing nowadays, it may be that this prospect is not so far off as it sometimes seems to be. It is guaranteed in the Word of God with thus saith the Lord. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But there is a day to come, and that day will be the last day. These things will be seen long before the last day. But notwithstanding these things will be, there will come the last day. And what then? The trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. All the vast host, from Adam's day onward, till time shall be no more, laid in the grave, with sure and certain hope to rise again to life everlasting, will rise at the trumpet's sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And they will rise with bodies that no preacher can attempt to describe, because the Word of God is silent about it. But it will be a new, redeemed, immortal body, retenanted by their redeemed spirits, and so shall we be forever with the Lord. There is a word I like to look at. There is much in it that is not yet to be understood, but this will show you that all things are in subjection under his feet. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days. Mark that word in, Ancient of Days. And they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion, and glory, and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.